The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord Jesus Christ, shine on us this morning as we think about your word. We pray that the light of Christ might fill each of our minds and hearts and living. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, please sit down, and pretty helpful to have your Bibles open. Ephesians chapter 5, page 1176. As Linda read that passage from Ephesians, hearing that Bible reading, I guess most of us will have been struck by the tone and subject. It is heavy when you hear what the Apostle Paul is saying. He gives us a clear indication of what was going on in Ephesus as he wrote. Ephesus on the west coast of Turkey. What was Ephesus like? There was the darkness of idolatry and also the darkness of sexual debauchery. How many people here have been to Ephesus? Quite a lot of people, interesting. You'll recognise some of the things I'm going to say later on. Perhaps you've visited them and looked around that great site. It's worth going to look at. It is one of the most wonderfully preserved sites, and you can see how the ancients lived there. Yes, the darkness of idolatry, the darkness of sexual debauchery, it's very up to date, isn't it? Malcolm Muggeridge, who was a great, sort of witty man, wasn't he? Malcolm Muggeridge, who left debauchery and to become a Christian later on in life, he once said this: all news is old news. It's just happening to new people. And what hit the church at Ephesus hits us today in exactly the same way. And this first century letter is written by the Apostle Paul to all centuries. Now, Ephesians, eight times we're told that we should be living. Live, live, live. It's translated in NIV. But sing Liz Sutcliffe there. Three times in our reading, the word is peripateo, which Liz will tell you, a Greek teacher, means walk. Do you agree, Liz? And for some reason, NIV, to help us understand, it puts it as living rather than walking. But again and again in Ephesians, Paul says, walk. And I want to give you three walks this morning in our reading just read. And the sense of walk is make this your habit. Continue in these things. The first is walk in love. Verse 2, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk, live like that. And do you know, the more we understand the love of God, the easier it is to follow the commands, the imperatives of God's word. And the miracle of grace is the gospel changes what I do and what I want to do and why I want to do it. It's because of where we're heading. Back in chapter 2, verse 10, we were told the big picture is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ Jesus. And then chapter 3, verse 10 talks about the manifold wisdom of God being at work. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God's people are intended to be a show home of the future and where history is heading. Verse 3, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, many people here will have failed in different areas in this whole area of New Testament teaching on sexuality. And many people here, like in Ephesus, who are Christians, will look back on their life and say, I lived like that once. I returned to Christ, put my life under his rule. And wonderfully, he forgives us and gives a fresh start and welcomes us. Sexual immorality is mentioned because it was commonplace in Ephesus. If you go on a tour with an archaeologist in Ephesus, they'll take you to the Library of Celsus. And it was a magnificent building. But actually, there's a tunnel beneath the road from the library across to a brothel, which is decorated with the different seasons of the year. So perhaps you'd say goodbye to your wife, and you'd say, darling, I'm just going off to the library to do some reading. But actually, you go down the stairs, along the tunnel, and to the brothel. That's what Ephesus was liked. And yet we're called to sexual purity. And God's desire is, his intention, is that there should be no sexual activity outside lifelong monogamous marriage between a man and a woman, not between same sex. The Bible teaches that from first page to last page. And I know that's not always been possible in people's circumstances, but that's God's original intention. Verse 3, there's talk about impurity. And the word there means sexual deviancy. It goes on about greed, or of greed, not in the sense of covetousness, but of being greedy for another's body, the insatiability of lust. And interesting enough, if you read some newspapers, they'll tell you that that is now as much a female problem as a male problem. I'm not a great person at looking at the adverts. I don't particularly like them. But they are quite telling about what they say about society. Calvin Klein had that advert a while back for Calvin Klein's Obsession. And the whole thing was sexually charged towards a coveting of somebody else's body. You may remember that advert, seeing it on television or on something else. If we're walking in love as children of light, we will not walk in those ways. And also it goes on and says, verse 4, these things shouldn't even be mentioned among God's people. I wonder what your workplace is like. Perhaps for some men there's the crude gags in the office. I don't know whether you watch Strictly Come Dancing. My wife loves watching it. I think it's amazing what those dancers do. But actually, I don't like it, and I tend not to watch it because I don't like the sort of double entendre the whole time, which is all sexually charged and makes it look like that's normal life. It's not the life God intended. But it ends verse 4, rather these things, sexuality, should be rejoiced in with thanksgiving. It must be about 18 years ago, 19 years, I was in the West End. I went to a flat in New Cavendish Street where a friend of mine had a flat with his wife, and he worked at the BBC. And there were other people there. There were 8 of us sitting down for dinner, and halfway through pudding, the girl opposite me discovered my job. And she was rather horrified, having been chatting very normally, that I was a clergyman, and she was a bit shocked that she worked in the building next door to Langham Place. And she said, goodness me, oh, I don't like church because God's against sex. I said to her, have you ever read your Bible? It talks about sex being a good gift of God. And she was rather staggered. Well, I just gave her a couple of quick references from memory about what the Bible said about sex. Thanksgiving for sex. Can I say Christians are not prudes? We're not against sex. We say it's a God-given gift. But we should speak about sex in a way which is honouring, showing renewed thinking, just not just in our minds, but in our behaviour. And the reason is given, verse 5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, a number of the Ephesians had lived like that, and yet they'd been born again, come into Christ's church. But actually, there's still that warning. If you live like that and ignore God, you'll have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You see, the dark world is not heading for God's new world. And the warning, verse 6, is let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath is coming on those who are disobedient. And yes, so many people try and deceive us with empty words. Perhaps the most common one the last 30 years would be something like this, whether it's heterosexual or same-sex. People say, oh, it's okay, however many people you have as partners, if it's done in the name of love. And Paul says, do not be deceived. He says, make sure you walk in love in this area of sexuality. And verse 7, therefore do not be partners with them. Walk in love. Second, walk in the light. Lovely to have that song sung as the children went out. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. live as children of the light. Literally, walk as children of light. The contrast is between darkness and light. We follow the one who said he was the light of the world. An amazing miracle of grace as we participate in the divine nature when we come to Christ. The Ephesians, who become followers of Christ, have been in darkness, like some of us have been, but were now in the light. And if you do the do's of the New Testament, you won't have time for don'ts. Fill your life with those things which are commended and commanded. Verse 9, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Don't have anything to do, says Paul, verse 11, with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather expose them. I've met down the years different people, both men and women, and I say to them, what drew you to church? What got you interested in the gospel? And they say, well, perhaps I met somebody at the school gates, or I met somebody in my office, or at the gym, and their life was different. And it wasn't a self-conscious exposing of darkness. They just lived the life Christ had given them. And it made these other people wistful about it. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. By so doing, we can take others with us to where all is ultimately heading, under rule of Christ Jesus. You see, light shows us how dark darkness is. And I love that phrase which comes, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Perhaps an apostolic baptismal hymn. If you wake up, friends, in this area, the light of Christ will shine on you. Walk in love, walk in light. Third, walk in wisdom. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Literally, the Greek is translated, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk like that, says Paul. And I love the reminder of verse 17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I hope you try and read your Bible at home, perhaps daily, ideally. Or you come to church on a Sunday, you belong to a fellowship group. What you're doing there is you're trying to understand and remind yourself of what the will of the Lord is. And that great reminder about time. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity. What do you have less of today? We should have more of yesterday. You have time. Our lives are finite. You have less time now than you did at breakfast. Time is ticking away. And we need to make the most of the passing opportunity with that precious commodity God has given us. Billy Graham, who was the most wonderful sort of down-to-earth Christian, once quipped this. He said, tell me how a young person spends their leisure time, I'll tell you what kind of person they are. How are you using time? Whether you're a young person, middle-aged or elderly. There's a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 5, verse 21. For a person's ways are in full view of the Lord, and the Lord examines all his paths. Live, says the Apostle Paul, walk in love, walk in the light, walk in wisdom, because the Lord examines all of our lives. But thank God for grace. We were living perhaps like the Ephesians, but actually God remakes lives which are spoiled by sin. Amen.